Good afternoon and God bless. This is Gary Anderson. I want to tell you a story that my mother, she taught me, and the principles from that story and others which I learned from that have carried me for my life. And what began with the story of the little engine that could, with my mom explaining it to us and guiding us, helped my brothers and I develop an attitude of, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, from Philippians 4:13. So she taught us the principles in Philippians 4:13 through the story of the little engine that could. I remember countless hours on a swing in the front porch, and we were listening to stories told by my mom. And many of the stories were Christian-based, or she gave them a godly twist. But my favorite was this one I just talked about, and that was a little train that could. It was a train carrying toys to the far side of the mountain to some children that were waiting there, and it broke down. Just as it was starting up one side of the mountain, it broke down. Going near there, another train was coming. And so the clown got off the train and flagged it down. And the other train had just finished carrying passengers and all of their things over to the other side of the mountain. But he was too shiny and he just didn't want to get involved. So he told them no, that he could not help the broken down little train to get over to the far side of the mountains because he had too many more important things to do. Well, a little while later, another train came by. And lo and behold, this train was too tired and too whatever and to help. And it couldn't help either. So that left them stranded. And they needed to get the toys and everything to the children on the far side of the mountain. But again, they had broken down. A third train came by, a little blue train, and though it was much smaller than the other engines had been, it had the heart to help, and it decided, it can help. I can do. It can help. We have to think about these things, because when we face challenges in our lives, we're going to be like one of those three trains. We're either going to be too important and too busy to help. We're either going to be too tired to get involved, or we're going to sit down and do what that little blue engine did and have the heart to say, I can help. I can help. And jump in there and do what needs to be done, usually in other people's lives and helping them get through the day and what they're dealing with. But we can always be of help. And this is what my mother taught us from that little engine that could. Now, unfortunately for us, my father died when I was 7 years old, which meant that Mom had to get a job to support my three brothers and me. Prior to that, my father's death, my father had insisted that Mom stay home to raise the family. That was her job. That was her only job. And his job was to work, sometimes night and day, to pay the bills. Once he fell asleep, once he died, Mom had to find a job. And so she turned to the only thing she knew. And that was, she loved working with children. And so she began working with the Head Start program there in Topeka, Kansas, which is where we were born and raised. After a few years, Mom became the director of the Topeka Daycare Association. And over the next 31 years, hundreds and hundreds of children heard the same stories and countless others that she had taught my brothers and me. And over that 31 years as well, one of my brothers worked for an airlines, and so he went traveling with her every year, and he took her to the Holy Lands, to Japan, to a lot of Hawaii, some of these places that she might never have gone to on her own, because he worked for the airlines. And from every one of those places she went, whether it was the Holy Land or Japan or whatever, she would enjoy the sights, but she would always look for props to help her tell her stories to the kids. And she would always come back with a whole cache of little odds and ends that she would use in her storytelling. And then finally, at one point, she started using an auto harp. And she would play and sing the songs with the kids. As I grew older, I began to apply some of the principles that I found in the stories that I was raised with. For example, in high school, as a member of the mile relay team, the first time I ran it, I was the anchor man. That meant somebody handed me the baton, and I was the last man to take that baton, compete with the other teams, and to help us win that race. I remember more than anything that my attitude when I grabbed that baton was I thought back to what my mom had taught me and the I can do attitude from Philippians 4:13 and from the little blue engine. And the entire team's fate was in my hands as they handed me the baton and we were in third place of a four-man race. But you know something? The local newspaper took a picture of us as I crossed the finish line in first place. And you know that picture remains imprinted in my mind to this day. I took our team from third place to first place in a quarter of a mile because I dared to believe and to confess that I can do, because I believe that. And I look to God for the strength and power to carry that out. Over the years, I participated in a handful of 100-mile bike races, and I applied the same I-can-do attitude that my mother had taught me as a boy. After 2 years in the Navy in Vietnam, I traveled to Alaska, where with God's help, I became the only black police officer in the entire state of Alaska. Stop and think about that. I didn't realize it at the time, but I was the only black police officer in the entire state. And the state of Alaska is 2.5 times bigger than Texas. When my fellow officers, particularly my training officer, made it absolutely clear that the only reason I got that job was because of the color of my skin. They had been told that they must hire a black or minority police officers to be federally subsidized for the purchases they were about to make. And they wanted to make these purchases. Well, you know, I decided that no, that's not why I was chosen. That God had put me in that job. That God had brought me to it, and God was going to help me through it. So to counter that claim with God's help, I not only graduated at the top of my class academically, but I also set a new physical fitness record for the Sitka, Alaska Police Academy. Over the years, God was not only with me, but strengthened me as well. His strength and his wisdom helped me succeed in nearly every challenge that came my way. And I think back to James 1:5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. My health challenges, and they were many that came over the course of my life, but each time God directed my steps and helped me be more than a conqueror in everything that was thrown at me. In every situation, every battle I would get in physically. And I faced many, many types of cancer, and I faced many problems, challenges. But every time, God helped me be more than a conqueror. In Romans 8:37 from the Amplified Bible, it reads, "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors." Another version of the Bible says, "super conquerors." "And gain an overwhelming victory through him who loved us so much that he died for us." In much the same way that God carried Joseph through a series of what could have been called bad breaks, when he was thrown into a well, he was sold into slavery, he was falsely accused and then thrown into prison. But God used those situations to help prepare him for the greatness that lay ahead. The promotion of being placed in over the entire food supply of Egypt, after 7 good years, he stored and stockpiled all kinds of food and grains and things. That period of good years was followed by 7 famine years, great famine. And during the years of famine, because of the wisdom that God had given Joseph and the stewardship that he had, he was able to carry Egypt through that entire time of famine, the 7 years, and they had so much food stored up that they were able to sell food to other nations, made it available to other nations. I think about Job 3:25 and 26. In that, Job said, "The thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither had I quiet, yet trouble came." Job's problem was that he got so worried about his kids that just in case they might be sinning, just in case, he offered sacrifices according to the number of his kids daily, just in case they might be sinning. No evidence that they had sinned or done anything wrong, but just in case, that fear, worry, and doubt. Job 6:24, "Teach me and I will hold my tongue," you know, "and my thoughts, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred, where I have made these gross mistakes, where I doubted, where my worries and concerns brought upon us the destruction that came with Job and his life." Every major ministry seems to address at some point or another the issue of watching what comes out of your mouth. In Matthew 15:18, it says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man." So by the time words form in your mouth, they've already joggled around through your heart, the innermost part of your being, and you allow those things to come out of your mouth. The Phillips Bible puts it this way concerning Matthew 15:18, "But the thing that comes out of a man's mouth come out of his heart and mind. And they that really make a man unclean, and it is they that really make a man unclean. For it is from a man's mind that the evil thoughts arise." Well, Bill Winston capitalized on this and did a series of teachings several years ago. Now, Bill Winston, Dr. Bill Winston, is still the director of the Living Word Church near Chicago. And he did a series called The Law of Confession, which was a 5-hour CD on the complete series on the Law of Confession and watching what comes out of our mouth. I still to this day think that that was the most extensive and best thing I've heard, although I've heard teachings from a lot of other great men and women of God. I believe that Bill Winston had the best of that. But I'm reminded of something. And from Psalm 141:3, what I did was I took a picture of a penguin And he's sitting there just going blah, 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 letting things come out of his mouth. And then I put the, underneath that, I put the scripture, Psalm 141, 3, which says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips." And then you see a hand reach down from up, up in the heavens and grabs his mouth and shuts it for him. "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips." Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11 says, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." It is so critically important, and we must remember that what comes out of our mouths may well set the stage for our future, positives and negatives. When we understand that our words and what we speak can hurt us, it is equally as important that we understand that what our words and what we speak can also help us. From Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, or of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Let our speech be positive and build up ourselves and our neighbors. Let us build up each other. In other words, let's walk in love with what comes out of our mouth and what we do. From Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40, Jesus Christ is confronted by a lawyer, and the lawyer asks, "Master," he's just gone through the Ten Commandments, "which of these in the law, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." That's the first commandment. Verse 38, "This is the first and great commandment." Verse 39, "And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So first and foremost, we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're to love our neighbor secondly, but then what's the third thing? And it's equally important. We have to love ourselves. That's the exhortation in this commandment. "On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets." If we are going to succeed at what Mom taught me in Philippians 4:13 attitude, which says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me," it is critical that we see ourselves as God sees us, able to defeat the Goliaths in our lives. And what do I mean by that, the Goliaths in our lives? David was a 17-year-old kid. Goliath was over 9 feet tall and a warrior since his youth. David was a youth. He was 17 years old, approximately, when he fought Goliath. Yet, without hesitation, he ran into battle and defeated Goliath and then cut off his head, knocked him out and then cut off his head. The army of Israel was in panic. They fled in terror every time Goliath approached. They couldn't do anything. By this time, they were so fearful of Goliath and his ability as a warrior and his size. In their minds, he must have been over 100 feet tall. They had just built him up to that point. And here a 17-year-old kid, a third his size, goes up, takes a rock, hits him in the head, and then cuts off his head. Why? Because he knew that God was with him. And it's critical that we remember that we have God with us when we face the Goliaths in our lives. Psalm 91, verses 6 through 8. Says, but we're not to worry, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh unto thee. You'll not be hurt by it. You won't be affected by it. Only thine eyes will behold and see the rewards of the wicked. When we look to God and we remember that God is our sufficiency and we look to Him for wisdom and strength, then we're going to have what God promises in His Word. Don't make the mistake of thinking that I am so great because of anything that I've accomplished on my own, but because of the greatness that comes with the new birth, that God in Christ in us. Yes, the words of God says, I can do all things. Not just because I say so, but because of what God activates within us, a strength that only Christ can give. Mark 11:23 from the Amplified Bible and 24. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whosoever, now listen to this carefully, whosoever says unto this mountain, the challenges in your life, the Goliaths in your life, be thou lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him, according to God's word and will. For this reason, verse 24, I'm telling you, whatsoever thing you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believing with confidence and trust, you shall receive that from God, and it shall be given to you. God teaches us that when and where we apply His word by speaking it, with believing that His power will bring to pass His word in our lives. When and where we speak it with believing. An example from my own life is many years ago, I was diagnosed with bone marrow cancer. And I was able to look those doctors directly in the eye because I had been rehearsing in my own mind for about a month, Mark 11, 23 and 24, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whatever that challenge happens to be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says are going to come to pass, he will have whatsoever he saith. Now that has to be in alignment and harmony with God's word. But in this case, I spoke to the doctors. I was able to look those doctors straight in the eye and say, do what you need to do, but you will not find cancer. Why? Because I'm so great? No. No, not at all. I dared to speak the promises of God that I found in Scripture and to believe them. In 1 Peter 2:24, we understand a little more about why we can do this. Who his own self, talking about Jesus Christ, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, talking about the cross, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes, Jesus Christ's stripes, he took all the beatings and all of that stuff for our healing, that ye were healed. Past tense, Jesus Christ went through the crucifixion and the stripes and the beatings that went preceded that so that we could stand holy and without blame before God in love, healed, healed, healed. After drilling into my hip on two separate occasions, the doctors could not confirm their diagnosis. Why? because I claimed and dared to believe and speak scripture concerning my issues, my Goliaths. Today, after many years of serving God in a variety of ways, I have accomplished, and I give all glory to God, to Christian parents, and to a mom who taught us godly principles, a mom who dared to teach my brothers and I about God and what we can do when and where we look to God for our strength and our sufficiency. You know, there was a newspaper article written about my mom when she retired. And I have copies of this newspaper clipping, and all of my brothers have it as well. And it said about my mom, and this was from the Topeka Capital Journal newspaper, and they did a full-page ad, a tribute to mom. It said, a widow who managed to raise four young sons single-handedly. Mrs. Anderson was concerned with all children feeling good about themselves, first and foremost about her sons, and then the hundreds and hundreds of other people that she worked with over the years, the 31 years. She was concerned, Mom began by teaching her sons what we, with God's help, could do. She then took the same message to the children in our communities. She taught children in general, but in particular focusing on minorities, to feel good about themselves. Without opening a Bible, Mom taught them principles, many of which were principles like Philippians 4:13, where it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the mother that raised me. And to her I give all honor and tribute, and to God, first and foremost, for taking care of her as well. I love you guys. Have a great day.